This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 602 with Jeff C., recorded on March 7th, 2024. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studio here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska. A little rain, but not quite the rain. Jeff's getting down there in Texas. Jeff, are you going to be okay? I mean, I am watching the weather radar. It looks like you're going
to
be okay.
Yeah, I think we got enough time. If I have to run for the hills, you'll know.
If the lights go out,
right? Exactly.
We'll know. Right. We'll know. Well, right. We'll post the show with some world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to Gavin Campbell, who joined us last week. And if you haven't listened to that yet, it's out there for you. Lots of home automation talk. And you know Gavin always brings it, so head out there and get that done. 601, get it done today. And then big thanks to our Patreon subscribers as well for all of you who help support the show, whether 1 month or for many months. We appreciate that. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon if you want to join that team. Jeff C. is with us today. Jeff comes via Ask the Podcast Coach, which I think you hang out in the chat room. Yeah. We started chatting one day, and I said, hey, why don't you come on the show, Jeff? I'd love to hear. I think we had some banter in the chat room, right. And I was like, hey, you're kind of a tech guy. Why don't you come on? Thanks for joining me on Home Gadget Geeks.
Yeah, I think what it was is I was actually watching the show in my new Apple Vision Pro, and you're like, why don't you come on? That was the hook right there.
That I think that's what got us started. We'll talk about that Apple Vision Pro here shortly. I want to get to know you a little bit. For folks who want to get to know more about Jeff, you can check him out, Jeff C. That's S-I-E-H if you want to check it out, J-E-F-F-S-I-E-H.com, or over at socialmedianewslive.com. Jeff, give us a little bit of, before we dig in, give us a, what got you into tech? Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
So I always have been in tech, and I finally figured out a way, like if I could write off my habit. And so I started doing, way back in the day, I think I had Premiere version 2. I started doing video editing back when the hard drives were monstrous and you thought 80 gigs was all you needed for the rest of your life. Yeah, it was a brick that I put in there. Yeah. And I had to buy it from a specialty store. So I started doing video editing. That got me jobs and doing multimedia. I used to do remember the credit card CDs? Like when people would
hang it?
I had a robotic machine that would print those off, and that locally. And yeah, so I did, you know, the multimedia with Shockwave Flash. I was one of those who developed those Flash websites when they first came out with all the animation. You can thank me later.
Which
would take forever to load.
Spinning globes.
Yes, everybody thought they were the coolest
under thing. Construction.
Right. Signs, all that stuff. Yeah. So, and you know, then I developed my, you know, Microsoft Front Page, developing websites for people. Yeah. Then I kind of started my own company and was doing a lot of the video stuff and helping people. And I better tell my clients to do this. I better do it. So I started a blog. Did that, and then I got into this thing called Google Plus, if you guys can remember that.
Long time ago.
And it was like the Wild West, because that's when live video, I mean, I don't know why they stopped, because they were so much ahead of Facebook and everybody else. Sure. They had comment trackers. We could bring in people's comments. And so I started a live show there with five other guys who had way more followers than I did. But that kind of kicked off everything. And so I was able to interview people like Guy Kawasaki, who now I do his podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got the producer of Pretty Woman and all these people who were just, it was the Wild West. Everybody wanted to be on this live show thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that transitioned to, I'd started a show, a blog, and it was mainly Pinterest tips, and it was kind of a joke. And then it kind of took off. And so I did a show and a podcast that led to me getting hired by Social Media Examiner, which is a big, you know, social media company that does conferences and all this stuff. So I worked for them for 5 years, and then I started the Social Media News Live show, and I've been doing remote producing for people, podcast editing, and I still all that kind of stuff. And then also Amazon influencing and, you know, influencer marketing and all that sort of stuff. And that's kind of the origin story
that's
of all
quick,
things.
That's, yeah, you've probably said that a few times, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I do some speaking and stuff too, which is fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. So yeah, it's all good.
What's the style of Social Media News Live? How often do you do it? What kind of what do you talk about?
So it's every Friday, and we're actually, if you go search for the YouTube channel, it's Creator News Live, because we're getting ready to switch over to everything. But it's mostly, it started with, you know, social media news and all that stuff, but it's moved. And Jim and I were talking about this before the show. I kind of feel like social media has a negative connotation to it.
Yeah, it's taken on one, hasn't it?
Yeah, and we talk about so much more stuff about that. Like, I'm fascinated about creativity. You know, that's why I listen to Jim and, you know, and Dave on Saturday mornings, the podcasting aspect, but also there's all this, what creators do and how they monetize and all that stuff. And so it just makes sense to switch it over. But that kind of stuff fascinates me, and so I love to talk about that. AI is the thing that I've been doing a lot of stuff with and speaking about kind of my processes with my podcast and all that stuff. So it's fun. I always have been a nerd, and this just lets me buy better toys.
It's just a ton of fun. I've been doing this for a bunch of years, and a couple times I've contemplated, like, maybe I've run the gamut on what I want to do here. But there's always another interesting guest. There's always new. I mean, AI may change the way the things that we talk about from, you know, the way we're doing things. You know, AI, you know, it's been about a year since OpenAI kind of. That wasn't the first one. There had been AI type tools. I think of Jarvis, which became Jasper. Right. I think of. There were some other, Otter.ai, which was out before OpenAI, but OpenAI really, and Microsoft really launched this thing. Bard has since now rebranded as Gemini on the Google side of things. What do you think, if I were to ask you, what's the best of AI in your world today? You know, just as we look at the tool overall, what do you think it's doing best?
So it's a tool. Like, it's just a tool of things to use. And so what it's doing best for me is, like, doing things I don't like to do. Like, I used to dread Thursdays before my show on Friday, having to write the emails and all the social posts and all that stuff. And now I have a template that I can throw into AI and change some things, and boom, it's done. And I can, it lets me be more creative on different ways. It lets me have a kind of brainstorming session. One of the cool things I use for podcasting is, one time I had two guests on my show at the same time, which was kind of rare, but I made the mistake of asking them, like, hey, what do you guys want to talk about? And they're like, I want to talk about this. And he goes, I want to talk about this. And I was like, oh crap, how am I going to blend this together? I put both of those into AI, and it seamlessly brought those together into a cohesive show, and I asked the questions, and it worked perfectly. Stuff like that is what really works for me. Also, creating images. I have my daughter, she does all this stuff now for my blogs and social posts. Being able to create really cool images really, really quickly and have them be original, I think that's kind of cool too. So,
Do you think, when we think about AI and the life cycle of it, you know, think about the Gartner hype cycle, right? Of it of being overhyped, and it hits a curve, and then it comes into the trough of disillusionment. Where do you think we are in that cycle of AI? And it'll cycle a couple times, but where do you think we are in that?
So one of the things I think, and I've talked about this a little bit before, is that I think that people are going to start distrusting the written word way more online. But I also think what we do, live shows and podcasts, are really, really hard to fake. Now, you can bring on, like, avatars, and there's already some AI-driven podcasts, and you can kind of tell what they are. But it's really hard to fake, like, oh, Anthony said another product killed by Google. Oh, that's, you know, AI can't pull in those comments and have those questions come in and like the insider jokes that you have with the people who watch your show each week. It can't fake that. So I think we, more and more companies are going to be looking to us and content creators who can do this, like, because this breaks through that wall that everybody's going to be thrown out. It's easy to make a social post now. It's easy to make a really long form piece of content with AI. But people are like, why am I going to read this? It's not even a real person writing it, right? And so,
yeah. Our Kansas City Chiefs up here have, won the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And this year, more than ever, I have seen more AI-generated videos about the trades that have taken place or whatever after the Super Bowl, right? And you're right. It's really hard. And then there's a, and I don't have the name of him now, but there's a guy I've been following on YouTube who's he's live. He's like you and me.
Right.
And he brings the news, right? What's going on, trades that have been happening. Between an AI generated video and watching a really human do it, trust the human more than the AI, but yeah. Do you think those barriers are breaking down any, or do you think there will always be a little bit of a distrust of that kind of content that's AI generated?
I just think it's going to be hard to, whatever they say, it's really hard to gain trust back it wasn't the Wall Street Journal, but it was something, because I read a lot. And I went to this person I've trusted for so long, and I could automatically tell that it was written by AI. And I'm like, why is this guy doing this?
Yeah.
He went the easy route, and I'm not going to read his stuff anymore. I mean, right. And so I think the more we can connect, and if you are going to write and use AI as a tool, make sure you use it as a tool to help enhance what your words are, your jokes or whatever, but don't copy and paste. I just think that's going to be, crazy.
Yeah. We've been using it internally where I work at Gallup for some list making, for some summarizations. You can take a whole bunch. We got a whole bunch of customer feedback on an event that we did. We took the verbatims and dropped them in the AI, and we've purchased an internal engine where we can put our own data in it stays protected. Right. Right? And it gave us some summary of that. I think it does some of those kinds of things really, really well.
I love it for show notes for my podcast because going and putting those in the transcript, the time codes and the timestamps, that is – so I use Descript, and I'm a big fan of Descript. I even have a course out on Descript. Dave's mentioned it before. But to me, it's a starting point. Like, I still don't think those automatic, I think it's Opus Clips where they can cut up those AI stuff – it still doesn't get all the way there. Like, it'll put you something in there like, that one doesn't work. You cut off in the middle of a sentence. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. So Descript has a thing called Find Good Clips. And what it does is it highlights them, and then I can go in and finesse them more to get the output that I want, because I do a lot of repurposing on all my content. But that's just, I think, where we're at.
AI, certainly I mentioned a year ago, AI kind of came on with Storm. But we were talking about VR before that. You're in the VR space. Right. We're going to talk a little bit about the Apple Vision Pro. But before we get into that, VR has really struggled. And we thought it would all be the next thing, and it's not. Obviously, AI. We spent the first 10 minutes of the show talking about it. That's the next thing. What do you think? What went wrong, or what's going wrong? And do you think it will go right at some point? Will we get this figured out? You've had all the headsets, right?
Yeah, pretty. I had the Rift that you plugged in, and you had the sensors you had to stick up on the wall and stuff. And I've always been fascinated with it because it's very, very cool. Like, I'm a computer person, and I love to fiddle fart around with that stuff. But people can't, and I think Apple may succeed is that you can explain how awesome it is, and people still don't believe you until they strap the thing to their face. Mm-hmm. Once they see that, like when I was able to have my parents be able to go down using Google Street View with VR down their old, where they used to live, and walk the streets and saw their faces, you could say that, yeah, you can use Street View, it's amazing, da, da, da. Until they experience it, there's no way to like get that feeling that they need to see. So that's why I always tell people, I can tell you how cool it is, but until you come over and you try it on, like, you just won't know. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think Meta did a lot for it, especially because a lot of gamers love the Meta Quest platform. I love it. I've had the Go, I've had the Rift, and I didn't buy the Meta Quest 3 because I knew I was going to get the Apple Vision Pro, but I think it's fitting a need, and it was moving forward. Like, when I can't go out and walk, there's a boxing app that I love to do on the MetaQuest called Fit VR, which I am drenched with sweat with, and I get a workout with. And that kind of stuff, I think, is very, very cool and has some uses for it. Like, it's something that can happen. I'm right in the middle of making a YouTube video about is the Apple Vision Pro worth it for Generation X? Because that's where I'm at. Like, I'm Generation X. Should I get this if I'm Generation X?
Right.
And what I pretty much landed on was probably not, unless, because there, and we can get into all my pluses and minuses, but
Yeah, no, you're there, and I'm interested. Unless what? Like, because I too am a Gen Xer,
right?
And I have a MetaQuest 2. I bought it last year, right. Christmas time. It was, you know, a couple $100, whatever it was, $400 or $500. I messed with it for a couple weeks, and then it looks as good today as the day I bought it, because it is still plugged in, hanging up on the wall. Where it's like, okay, I'm going to put it here so it's easy to grab, and I can put it on, and I can use it for various things. But it hasn't.
Were you a gamer? Were you a gamer though?
No, maybe that's the problem. Is I'm not a gamer.
Yeah, I think because it's really wrapped towards the gamer.
Yeah.
And I said, unless, and it's so weird to me that Apple's done this, is for all their fitness apps and, you know, their watch and all this stuff, this is a very passive a device compared to the MetaQuest. Okay. The technology is mind-blowing. Jim, I mean, you've got to go to an Apple store and try it on. It'll blow your mind. Like, it really will. The resolution is amazing. I mean, it is amazing. The eye tracking is phenomenal. It is the best television in my house, right? It is. It's the best one. And the eye tracking is amazing. And one of the things I really want to talk about is I think the spatial video that you can actually take with this and the photos, and those are also available on the new iPhone, I think 15, that you can take those too. I think that's going to change the way we take photos.
In what way? Do you think?
Because when you watch them, it is like you're looking at a memory. Mm. It really is. It's like if you ever saw those Harry Potter movies where they had the pensive, when they'd like spit out the stuff and drop it in the bowl and he'd throw his face in and he would relive those memories. Mm-hmm. It's like that. Like, I wish I had of my kids when they were younger spatial videos that I could watch again. I'm going to be using this to take videos of myself because I know my kids, when I'm gone, will be able to watch it. Remember that scene at the end of Iron Man after Tony Stark, spoiler alert, gets killed?
I think it's okay.
Yeah. And they've got his helmet there and they're playing the memory of him like that. Yeah. That, I mean, it's even more immersive than that. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. So those are the big things. If you're a tech guy and if you have $4,000 just lying around that you want to spend on this thing.
Right. Is that how much it cost?
Mine did, because I have glasses, so I bought the inserts, and I also got the highest, it's 1 terabyte of storage.
Okay.
So it's the highest one. So.
Pretty comfortable to wear, do you think? I mean, obviously with the price, not a lot of people are buying these, but pretty comfortable to wear.
So this is it right here. I've got it here.
I'm going to hold on. Before you do that, I'm going to switch that, and let me give you a bigger screen here.
All right. Yeah.
There we go. Go ahead.
Okay. So this is, it's got the cover on it. And I've also purchased a little rubber, like silicone thing to protect this. Because one of the things that scares me the most is this thing, it feels expensive. And it is expensive. And I am scared to death to drop it. Because on the Quest, you just grab it. Well, this thing comes off just like that. It's held on by a magnet.
Oh,
And so I'm so used to grabbing it with the other thing. It's like, I am scared to death to wear this. This has got the single solo loop band on it, which is a really cool piece of technology, because there's a little like dial here and it actually tightens it up with, there's like some strings inside of it.
Yeah.
So that is really, really cool.
Now, the MetaQuest is more like a strap, like a plastic strap that goes over the back of your head.
They actually knew that this is very comfortable, but it is very, very, it'll press up against your cheeks.
Okay. Right.
But they also sent you a kind of the same kind of band that you can use on it for like the MetaQuest has. Now, my thing is, I keep going back and forth which is more comfortable. Because sometimes, like for watching movies, I think the dual kind of keeps some things over your pressing down on your face. The other cool thing about this is it fits better than the MetaQuest does, because you actually, to order this, you have to take your phone or your iPad and do like you're doing the, you know, when you do your privacy thing so you can have your face unlock your phone. It actually scans your face, and there's like over 30 of these different sizes. So it's actually specially for your face, and they give you two of these magnetic. There's a thinner one, and I have the thicker one on. That comes with it too. So that's kind of what you get in the box. And you also get the battery, which is something that the MetaQuest does not have.
Nope. No, it does not.
Then a charger and the cable.
Although you could rig a battery pretty easily on the MetaQuest, right?
Yeah.
You
mean, it's about the same amount of battery power as everything else. But there's sensors all through here.
And is that VR or is that AR?
Yes.
Can you see through there?
So Apple calls it spatial computing, which is such an Apple thing.
Of course.
Because what it does is it actually does do, so there's VR, virtual reality, AR, which is augmented reality, which, remember the Google Glass? We used to call them, they called them glass holes when they would walk around with them.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It's been a while.
And that was augmented reality, like something superimposed of your reality. And I think MX or MR, you know, mixed reality.
Mixed reality.
That's kind of what this is.
Microsoft coined that phrase.
Yeah. So what it does, it is actually, you can't see through these, right? But it has cameras that, it's like the MetaQuest pass-through, only way better.
Better. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yes. It's not. So to be honest, it is not like the commercials, right? It's not like, they make it look like it's like you're looking through glass at the world. Yeah. You can tell it's not real life, okay? But all the icons and all the stuff inside of it are, it's really hard to go back to the MetaQuest. I mean, it's 4K in each eye. It's greater than 4K in each eye. I think they said the pixels are about the size of a red blood cell. I don't know if that's true or not. I heard that somewhere. But anyway, the resolution is amazing. Like, this is the other reason to get it. If you're a movie buff and you have always wanted to have your own movie theater, not home theater, your own movie theater.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, instead of buying a big, huge $4,000 TV, this is what you need to get.
Well, so, I've watched videos via the MetaQuest. Mm-hmm. How much different is it if you put the screen up and put it in front of you night and day?
Night and day. So really? I waited to watch. And the other thing is, I was also a big I have a 3D TV still, like here in my office. I love 3D movies. Like, I just thought they were cool. Always have. And they kind of went away. But I had waited to watch Avatar Way of Water. I didn't get to see it in the theater, and I was waiting so I could see it on 3D. It is awe-inspiring and spectacular because you don't have glasses on front of it, which darkens everything. You don't have any, like, when you're wearing it over your glasses or anything, because I have the
And you wear it over your glasses?
No, you cannot wear this over your glasses. So that's why I had to get, there's inside inserts. Of here, there are inserts that are magnetized.
How much were those?
I think they were 100 and something.
Oh, that's maybe. Not terrible. That's
no,
not
I bad. Thought it was going to be way more. I thought
I just
Apple
bought
was
new roll. Glasses. Yeah. They were $650.
Yeah. It's not. No, it was like, it might have been 200. It might have been 199 or something like that.
All right.
But and they're progressives. Like, I have to have progressives. And so, anyway.
Did you buy those from Apple or did you buy?
So it was when you go and do it, they ask you, do you have a prescription? And you enter your prescription. And then it goes right through Zeiss is the one who does it. So they're high quality glass.
Yeah.
And then they come with the MetaQuest and just you plop them in. Yeah. So is this a giveaway?
Jay wants to know if it's a giveaway. No. Jay.
But
23 million pixels, 3D display system, micro OLED, 7.5 micron pixel pitch, 72% DCI P3, supports refresh rates of 90, 96, and 100 hertz. And then supports playback of multiples of 24 frames per second, 30 frames per second. No 60 in that. I would expect a 60 frames per second to be a part of it.
But you probably can't tell
at that close, right?
No, I mean, and the cool thing is, so there's even an IMAX app in the ecosystem that you can actually watch IMAX movies in the theater. Wow. So, and it's also dynamic lighting. So there's a really cool app that was on the MetaQuest called Big Screen, and you were able to rent 3D movies, and it was like you were in different theaters you could go into. Well, Apple has, and part of the regular ecosystem of Vision OS is these environments, right, that you can dial in. And that's the other thing that I've never seen before on any virtual reality machine, is like you can – dial in, and it shows on the commercial how much of the virtual reality you want. So I can dial it in completely. So I'm sitting in front of a lake at Mount Hood, and I can watch a movie on a big screen where it's actually reflecting in the water which is just a surreal experience. Wow. You look up and you can see stars, and it's like your own personal drive-in movie. but then you can also, with there's a crown right on the top, kind of like a big Apple Watch kind of thing. So you basically have two buttons here. You've got on this side is this what they call the digital crown, just like they call it on your watch. And here is just kind of a button, like you select you want to buy an app, or you how hard press it to actually, like force quit something. But you dial that in, and the reality shrinks or grows around you. Mm. Like I can just have my movie and a little bit of Mount Hood, and I can see the rest of my environment. If my my wife's coming in or whatever, talk to her. So you can dial it in, which is very, very cool, and I've never seen before. And they have multiple environments. They have like Mount Hood. They have the surface of the moon, which is just blows you away to watch Star Wars there. They have I think the volcano one. They have White Sands, and I think they have an Yukon National Park. But you can dial those in, and so that is really, really cool, which I've never seen before. And the other thing is, even if you're fully immersed, you can have settings where. Like my wife will come in, I'll be watching a movie, and she'll, hey, Jeff, and she'll come in like almost like Ben Kenobi in the Force, well, just this little halo around her where she's popping into my reality, and I can turn and look to her, and I can have a conversation with her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it senses that somebody talking and then brings it in. So that's no moon.
Yeah, that's no moon. That's a space station.
Yeah. And the other thing that's really good about it is, right here is the audio right here. It's spatial audio, which is really, really good. And then if you want, say, more bass, then you can put your iPad AirPods Pro in. They seamlessly connect.
Oh, right.
And you get it's amazing sound.
Yeah. And so you watched two talking heads on a podcast, Dave and I, Dave Jackson, on Saturday. Is that does it work that way?
There's a great YouTube app. You have Safari's built into it, so you could watch it on that way. But there's YouTube is the big news was Netflix and YouTube aren't supporting Spotify aren't supporting Apple Vision Pro when they come out.
Yeah.
So a guy has created an app called Juno, which works like YouTube, and so you can just go there. And so that's what sometimes I'll do is I'll watch somebody live. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, video it for them and send it. The other really cool thing as a productivity standpoint. Is that if I look at my display when I have the headset on, it will actually say, you want to connect? And it goes and it makes this huge 4K monitor as big as I want of my workstation. And I can edit videos, podcasts, anything in there. So the display is amazing.
Do you think you'd use it for work in a setting? The other side would be a challenge. But if you were going to do conference, I do virtual calls all the time. For work, would it work in that kind of setting?
Yeah, now, there is a Zoom app,
and
there's also FaceTime works in it.
Yeah.
The thing is you actually scan yourself. You hold it up and you scan yourself, and a new update just came out today, which is supposed to be better. But it makes this what they call persona, and it's very Uncanny Valley, like it's Polar Express Uncanny Valley weird. Like I had my kids call, and they were like, "Dad, that's horrible." In fact, it rendered like my beard is my neck, and so when I turn my head, it was like this weird, like it was cloth or something. Everybody who sees it thinks it's weird. Now, the new ones are supposed to be okay, but I would not ever use it as of now for a business setting.
Okay for you to join the conference and see all the people, right, from that standpoint. Does it have, I assume it has a microphone in it as do you have to use the earbuds for
a movie? No, it has a microphone built in.
Because the AirPods are terrible. Like that, I don't know if that's any better. If it could be a smidgen better, it would be better than
it's a really good sounding thing. It's also, if you have multiple people joining, like on FaceTime, they're spatially separated. Like if you were over here in my vision, your sound is coming that way. And if I move my head, it's pretty amazing.
But so what you're saying though, what they're seeing of you is weird. a little awkward.
It's more than awkward. It's just like, this is, you can stick out your tongue and you're like, it never rendered my tongue. That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Cause you never opened your mouth and stuck your tongue out.
Well, you have a long beard, so I can imagine it might struggle not to see your chin. What do I do with that? Zoom has some interesting, animations, right? That you can play. You can choose some things. And I have interacted with some folks who've chosen to do the animations, and that's, I don't know, the longer I do it, you know, they get the lips to kind of work in the right way. And the longer I do it, the less it becomes kind of weird. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where that'll be okay? Or
I think Apple's going to do a better, you know, MetaQuest, your avatar is always a cartoon character.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get it better enough where people can go, okay, you get, this is the worst this thing is ever going to be. And it's spectacular.
I
get it. It's expensive. It's, you know, it's heavy. But it's just the eye tracking. I don't think we really talked about that, but when you first it sends these infrared things out to your eyes and is tracking where you're looking. But you do this training where you look at your hands first, because your hands in the environments are almost, you can see like kind of like a halo a little bit around like a Zoom call, you know, when you're on a green screen and Zoom and they kind of have that kind of halo effect. Yeah. Well, they have that, but instead of like Meta where you have to have controllers and your arms are just kind of those cartoony half arms, this is your real hands. Like I can look at my watch and actually read it. I can look at my phone and actually read it. The resolution's that good. You can still read it. Yeah. But you do your hands and they recognize your hands, and then they send you this circle of dots and you look at them, and I'm going to hold it up because you don't have to hold it up. You can have it down on your lap actually and just tap your fingers together and that selects things. So you go around and you look at these different circles around the room to set up eye tracking, and then it does like different levels of brightness and you do the same thing and then you're set up. Then wherever you look and you do that, it's a selection. And it just works. They've been training us in their ecosystem for so long. You just know what to do.
How to do it. I did notice I put the MetaQuest headset on a couple months ago and the hands had gotten better.
Yeah.
Like in some updates, but you're right. They're kind of, you know, like Andrew says in the chat, he says, why don't they make your hands look like hot dogs? They kind of do. Like right? They're these gray kind of.
Yeah.
Now, listen, that's still pretty amazing that in a device that's, you can't see and it's only cameras, it's picking up your hands enough to do that.
And then you're not tethered to a computer. Like that still blows my mind. Like I remember being tethered to everything.
Yeah. Well, okay. This has got an M2 chip in it. It's 8 core, 4 performance cores. This sounds like a PC.
Yeah.
4 efficiency cores, 10 core. It's a 10 core GPU, 16 core neural engine, and 16 gig of unified memory. That's everything embedded on the chip. How good is the battery life on that thing? You said it's got the battery
attached. It's like 2 hours. It's right up there with the MetaQuest, maybe a little bit shorter, but I always leave mine plugged in because you can leave your battery plugged in. It's got a long cable. Yeah. It's just when you have to get up and, you know, go somewhere where you unplug it. So that's the other thing. When you set up windows and stuff, you can walk away and walk to your living room and look back and you're seeing through walls. They're still there and you just walk back. They don't move with you. They're in that spatial thing, which is really great for like if you're wanting some websites open and you're writing a document. It does really help you focus if you can have what just you need and you can be in the middle of Mount Hood in the forest and birds are going and you can just really sit there and really focus on stuff.
The MetaQuest kind of asks you to outline an area. You kind of feel like you need to stay in that area. Mm-hmm. Is this so you'd be comfortable walking around your house in this?
Yeah, because what happens is when you get up, even if you're fully immersed, it will tell you when things are too close and it will actually go automatically to the live view. If you walk past a certain thing, it's constantly sending out this radar. And there's actually some YouTube videos where they figured out how to show how it maps your room and it's constantly mapping everything. And so you don't need a boundary because it'll warn you, like if your head gets too close to the door, it'll say, hey, your head's too close. Or it just works. Like you can just get up and walk around and there's no boundaries that you need to set.
Mm. Yeah, I was always I'm in the MetaQuest, I'm kind of afraid to leave my seat. I might stand up, right? One of the things I always wished it would do better is a pass through for the keyboard, because I'm still a mouse and keyboard kind of guy, right? Yeah. Do you get any better? The MetaQuest is non-functional in a keyboard environment. They have a virtual keyboard that you can do some things with your hands, and in theory, you can type on that keyboard like you do on your phone with your fingers, right? To kind of make it work. No 10-key idea of that. Does that change at all in the Vision Pro?
Yeah. So, because I use it for, I'm the same way. Like for when I video edit, I have to have my mouse and keyboard, you know, to get around. So what you can do is you just dial up. Remember, you can have it fully immersed or you can have it fully, you know, open to your environment. And so, yeah, I have my trackpad so for a MacBook Pro, it's 4K display, and you have your trackpad. Actually, you can move it up to there, and it's like if you're using an iPad where you have that little circle where you can select things and move things around. And so that works seamlessly. If you are on an Intel Mac, it only, I think it's 3K or maybe it's 2K. It doesn't matter. It's huge. It's big. It's sharp. It's
big enough.
Yeah.
It's big enough.
Because I have an older MacBook Pro, and it's just fine. And it just works. I just open it up, and I just type. And you can look down and see your real hands on real keys.
Yeah.
And it's just, wow. I mean, that was because I tried this, Meta Office or something. We even tried it with Guy's thing, doing some Guy Kawasaki and trying to do some stuff there. And it just didn't work really well.
No, it doesn't. That part, it doesn't. I mean, there's some amazing, I still think, you know, on the Meta Quest, watching YouTube videos or playing games, Beat Saber, some of those other games are awesome, right? Yeah. It's there's a lot of great things you could do on it. But I kind of bought it thinking, well, maybe the productivity suite will get better. And the question I had for myself was, could I use this for work? Like, could it be a productivity app? Because of the keyboard problems, I couldn't. Yeah.
Well, with this, there's people who've done their entire workday now using this. Because they're the tools, you know, you can open Word, you can have Google Docs, you can do all that stuff in there, and you can type. Mm-hmm. You also, if you need to, like, it does have a virtual keyboard. You can't do 10 fingers. You can hut and peck, and it works okay. Siri also works inside of there, so you can dictate stuff if you need to do that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot. So I did write a couple articles. I've been trying to write this whole YouTube script using the Vision Pro just to say that I did it.
Yeah.
Once you get in there and focus, being able to have all that stuff open is really, really cool because you have all this space to throw things.
Yeah. Yeah. I just struggled getting some of the activities to work where it's just harder to do. Some of the things I need to do are harder to do virtually than they were.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I didn't expect it to save me time, but you can't make it harder.
Right.
You know, from that perspective.
Being able to just look at your computer and it goes up into a monster screen in whatever environment, that makes a big, huge difference and that's the other thing. If people are limited on space, like if I lived in New York in an apartment, this might be something like, I know I'm not going to be able to put a big screen TV up. Well, I have my own monster drive-in theater sized screen that I can watch shows on with this thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe that would be a use case too.
My one of my sons is big VR guy. He actually has bought, and I don't know the brand, but it's not any of these. It's a custom brand. They're fairly small. He uses them for VR and VR gaming and VR music. Mm-hmm. But I can tell when he comes over on Sundays when he's been in VR for the last 7 or 8 hours. Yeah. He's got a ring. He's got, you know, some acne around those areas, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like with the Vision Pro? Yeah. Yes, the battery will last 2 hours, but what do you personally think is the most time you could survive in that?
I mean, I've watched. Now I did Avatar because it's a long movie. I think it's like four hours or something. But I did that in two shots.
Okay.
I know I didn't ever realize until I was wearing it for a long time how much I moved my face because I was actually rubbing some things raw on my forehead because making expressions and stuff. Right. I've gotten more used to it and getting the band fit right and some of those other things. I'm really interested to see when third-party stuff comes out. Like, when I can start trading out some of these straps and even the face shield and all that kind of stuff, I think will be interesting to see how that will work. But it's a very, very interesting piece of technology. If you have a chance at an Apple store, go do a demo because it's really...
I'm afraid I'd buy it, just to be honest.
You probably would.
Couple comments coming in on chat. Justin says, then they need to make celebrity avatars. So, for example, my avatar is Shaq or characters such as Frodo, which do you think, let me ask you this question. I mean, AI imagery has gotten so good. You know, you can feed AI a couple of your pictures and then say, hey, make pictures of me here or give me just some random professional pictures of me. Do you think that, I mean, do you think AI might solve the avatar? There we go. Problem.
I think it'll give you more options. You know, ChatGPT is already inside of Apple Vision Pro ecosystem, and I think you can actually look at things and have ChatGPT identify those and ask queries on that and stuff like that. So that's, I think, is going to be the next thing. I think when these get a little bit, you know, this is the first version, lighter, easier to wear. A lot of people now are using them for air travel because they can have when they're working, they can have that whole thing. Cause there's an airplane mode where it stabilizes stuff and you can watch these monster videos that can actually fit outside of the aircraft. And you know, that's, they're that big.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you're not even there. Right. You kind of, right. Do you think that's okay from a human perspective? You sit next to somebody that's got one of these headsets on. Does that seem kind of weird, or do you think we're okay with that now?
Air travel is not my favorite thing, so I have a skewed
weird.
View.
It's yeah, weird, anyways. Like, right?
Yeah. If I had a chance to get everybody else out, I might take it. I don't know if I'd take them on the plane. I know people have, and there's some videos on it and stuff. It's one of the downsides of the things that I don't like about it is it's great. I mean, I love watching movies. I'm a movie buff, but I can't bring my wife in to watch it.
Right.
Like on Meta, there's even some apps where you can bring your avatars in and watch it and play games together, you know, through that in a big, huge theater. I think that'll come to Apple, but right now it's a very isolated place. There aren't any Horizon Worlds or anything like that like Meta has. So
I hadn't thought about that. I mean, you could take two headsets, they could sense they're next to each other, they could orientate and say, hey, I know I'm in this in relation to that, and then show that experience to you, right? I mean, it's got enough horsepower, don't you think?
Yeah, and it has that thing called eyesight where it looks like your eyes, so when you scan it, there's, you know, this is a kind of a, what do they call it? Electar kind of phrase where it gives 3D kind of effect to whatever is being shown on it. And it's not actually letting anything transparent come to your eyes. It actually is when you did that scan, it scanned your eyes and it's tracking your eye movement and your blinks and reflecting that on the digital screen. And it's a really eerie thing. Like when my wife looks at me and she knows I'm looking at her and blinking, and because you can see where my eyes are, it doesn't work. It doesn't look as good as a commercial. Now, this new update that just came out today, supposedly it's going to be brighter. I personally think it's a little gimmicky, but like my wife can tell like if I'm watching a movie because it kind of does this, you know, Ready Player One, like Tron kind of bluish screen on it. And then when I talk to her, my eyes should kind of come out of the darkness and she can see that I'm paying attention to her. I know Apple's trying to be all, you know, yeah, it's that. They're trying to be all like, hey, we want you to be aware of your surroundings. I think it's more of a gimmick than actually a use case. And actually, when they drop it to the next version or trying to make it cheaper, I have a feeling that's going to be the first thing to go. That's just my opinion.
Really? So what we're seeing in this picture or what they're trying to represent, that's not actual her eyes.
No.
It's a representation of her eyes.
Right.
Right. Oh, I did not... I saw these as I thought, oh, it's pass through. It's augmented. See, that's
what they really want you to think that, but it's not. It's actually, and it doesn't look that good. I mean, I wonder if I could put mine on and it would do it.
Yeah, here, let me drag. We'll drag you over, and I'll make you big.
I don't think so. I can see everything through here, and it should be when I'm talking. You might be able to see my eyes. I got to get it probably just.
Yeah, it could be tough. We'll give you a second to get that spun. Yeah, the lights are shining a little bit on that.
Oh, it just went dark. Oh, let me go back out of here.
If all of a sudden your eyes just pop up, I'm going to freak out. I'm just going to. Like, if they just went boom and there were your eyes, you know, kind of deal.
I
don't know.
I can't see it. So
yeah.
You probably can't either.
No. Probably have to turn the lights. Probably
that's
have to
one
turn
of the, that's part
off.
Of the problem is. Yeah. Can I turn off my lights here? Let me see.
Can you see through enough that you're seeing this?
Yeah, thing? I can. Okay. I could type on my computer. I see my screens and everything. Yeah. I can read.
Well, that's,
hey, look, Jeff the Cylon. See, I can read that. So
the MetaQuest is terrible at that.
Yeah, it's this
black
I can.
And white. Yeah,
this you can go around and see. Now the field of vision isn't as great as the MetaQuest is. Let me see if I can turn off my lights to see if that can do anything.
See if that'll show. Yeah. If you're listening to the audio only, head over to youtube.com/Jim Collison and you can see the video of this, or theaverageguy.tv if, or theaverageguy.tv if you want to watch the live version of this.
It may still get me too much reflection. Can you see my eyes? Anyway.
No, not. Well, that just goes to show how hard that is, right? And how different the advertisements are.
Yeah, it's not like, I mean, you can tell when you know, the angle's right and like when I'm watching it and my wife comes in and stuff. But it's not like that. Now, to be fair, supposedly they brightened it up for this new version of the Vision OS that just came out today, which I haven't updated yet. Okay. So.
Okay. How long has it been out? When did it come out? When did you buy
I've had
it?
About, I think I've almost had it a month now, three weeks. I think it came out on, was it the 12th of last month when it came? So
Andrew puts a nice comment. He says, if I don't buy one of these, can I use the money I save to go and sit in the actual forest?
I am a very special, like I would not tell my friends to go out and spend this. I mean, but I love this stuff. I love movies. I love text. This is either going to be the biggest thing that Apple's done, or it's going to be their biggest flop ever.
No, it could be in between. You know? I get it. I mean, let me ask you this. Was the watch one of the biggest things they ever did, or was that the biggest failure? I think that's an in-between, right?
See, there's so many. I love my Apple Watch, too. Yeah, I think.
But it's not, it hasn't been the biggest, not like everybody's got a watch, right? Yeah. But I think it's been, this could fit in that watch category where it's so niche, however you want to say that.
And they've always done a great job of looking where other people are, what they're doing, and then copying and doing it better. Like the Meta Quest, pretty much, and watch, same thing, wearables. Oh,
they've been working on this a while, though, Jeff, don't you think? I mean, this has been a long time in the making.
There's so much going on in there to have this work.
Yeah.
I just, you've got to try one, Jim, and then you can call me up. And
I do. You're talking me into it. Justin says, does it silence the screaming kids? Could you put headphones on
this thing? Yeah, you can wear cans on top. Some people do. Okay. Some people wear the AirPods Max because it works really well for them. But I love when I watch a movie, I usually put the AirPods Pro in because it's a little bit more bass. But the spatial audio, just normal, is great. But yeah, you can dial down the entire thing. The other cool thing is like, I laid in bed and watched a movie because I can move that movie screen wherever I want, as big as I want. So I was laying under the stars watching, I think, Mission Impossible Fallout in 3D, and I was watching that the other night. So, and there's some cool apps like Disney Plus has built-in environments for their 3D movies. Like, I watched Avengers Endgame from Stark Tower, and you can look around, and there's like a Hulk smasher here, and there's like all these little Easter eggs that you look around the environment. I watched one of the prequels for Star Wars in a land speeder on Tatooine. That's one of the environments that Disney has. So when more of those start rolling out, like there's a game, and HBO is the other one that has environments they have where you can watch it from the throne room from Game of Thrones. You can watch in their kind of theater. So
one of the things my son's VR setup does is it's got a gear that goes with it, gloves and some of a vest,
a
bodysuit that goes with it. Have we seen, I haven't looked at all. Is there any kind of additional hardware coming with for the Vision Pro? Does it work with anything that's beyond the headset?
Not that they want you to buy their case, which is another $200, which is it looks like a giant marshmallow, and it would get dirty so fast. And I'm like, there's no way. So I got like a cheap knockoff one from Amazon. But I haven't seen anything like that. I think because Apple's so sports based that they've got to come out with some fitness things, like doing yoga with it. But it really is heavy, and it just feels like, you know, the Meta Quest, it feels like, this is a thing. It's like a gaming controller, you know. It's plastic, and it's okay to, like, if I whack it with my, because I have done that before, Beat Saber, whack myself in the head with the controller on my Meta Quest. I would be paranoid that if I did that on this, I'd be like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, even with Meta Quest AppleCare.
Is super durable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's a big chunk of plastic.
Yeah.
But this, I would be afraid I'd break that lens, right?
Well,
there's no handsets to this, right?
No. That's all hand tracking.
Just a mask.
Yeah. So
wow.
It's I mean, it's got a lot going for it, but the things, like I said, the negative is, you know, that it's so ridiculously expensive. It's not super comfortable. I think the Meta Quest, I wish they would have, like, I have the, for the Meta, is that power band where you can dial it in.
Yeah, I bought that too. Yeah. And that's comfortable. But listen, these things are never going to be, they're giant computers strapped to your face, right? I mean,
I've never got hot wearing it. Like, some people have said, like, I've never had my eyes feel dry or any of that stuff. You know, it's not comfortable. It's isolating. And that pass through, it's okay. I mean, it's better than anything out there, but it's not like crystal clear. But it's enough that I can walk around my house. I can look at my watch. I can read my phone when I get messages, which you cannot do with the Meta Quest.
No, you can't see anything. But it's a little frightening at times when you're trying to do stuff outside in the real world. And then I tap it to, to, but even that is a scary, like 1950s TV experience.
I'm like, always scared. Like, cause when you have that Meta Quest on, there's no, like, if somebody came up and like stabbed me, I would not see them coming. Like, right, you just would. No, you're totally. That's the cool thing about this is, if somebody comes and approaches you, they break through whatever you're doing. Like, you know,
it senses them, and then they appear, so to speak.
Yeah. So that's cool. I like that.
Jeff, I always thought the better form factor that for this, and you're going to say I'm crazy, but I want to run it by you. The better form factor for this is a helmet. Like, fits on your head, like, you know, the old Star Wars blaster, you know, the blast shield kind of thing, because these things are always too head heavy. They're always, they grip the back of your head, and that gets tired after a while. It's a strain on your neck. I skied for a lot of years, and I used to wear a full helmet when I skied, and I could go all day with goggles on. It felt great. What do you think? What would you're at home. It's not like, I know. We talked about people on a plane, so that might be a little weird, although not much weirder than seeing this big old headset on your face. Would you wear a helmet if it was more comfortable?
You know, the funny thing is, there is a mod already out there on Reddit. I'm in the forums there of a guy who's taken that, and he's got a helmet, and he's modded it so he can flip it down.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, almost like, remember when the soldiers would wear their night vision.
Yeah,
exactly. I think
I wore those. I wore those back in the day. Yeah. They were old and clunky.
Right.
Actually, to be honest with you, not too much smaller or not too much bigger than these are now. The night vision goggles, the Army and the Marines and those guys use now, are so sophisticated and lighter. And our night vision was not much heavier than these are now. You know, you'd flip down.
Right.
And you know, it's kind of interesting. I know they will get lighter. But yeah, I've always kind of thought, you know, a helmet would give you a more, you could put speakers in them, and it would be, you would have better spatial audio. And, and again, you could have cameras. I mean, they got cameras all over these things. You could have cameras that could be watching behind you,
right,
so that you don't get stabbed.
The funny thing about this is, there's people who have already, and there's plans online where you can 3D print this little thing, so you can actually take another one of these loop bands and have it go on the top, and so you have a double thing, and they can dial it in. So I thought that was pretty genius. I will say that, because this is custom fitted, because the, you know, it has like 30 different things, you don't have light leakage, at least I don't. Like I do on the Meta Quest. Like, I have, even with the new, I have different silicone things that I've had on there. But I still have light leakage around my nose and stuff. You don't.
And I got new glasses. I have not got inserts for my Meta Quest. And I just got new glasses, and they're a little bit bigger. And I haven't, as we're talking about this, I haven't tried these on with the new headset. And I'm kind of like, they may not fit. You know, they're significant. I wouldn't say significant, but they are larger. I like them. I get more lens on them than I had on the other ones. But I if I'm going to do that, I may have to get inserts.
Yeah, the inserts were worth it. One, because it's really easy to scratch the Meta Quest lenses, and especially with glass on glass inside there. It just made me nervous. So I got them cheap now.
Yeah. Justin says in chat, he says, people are totally oblivious currently because they're looking at their phones so much. So that's in some places that are putting traffic lights in on the ground at the crosswalks. Would that make it worse? Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, if it's totally enclosed, right? Or
The thing is you've seen these people on YouTube and stuff with them when they the first week these came out, walking around traffic going and doing all this kind of stuff. That is totally fake because everything everything is locked down. Like when you open a window, it's there. Yeah. It's and you have to turn on a special airplane mode so it's not, you know, it's not syncing where you are in space. And so when they're doing all that stuff walking, it's ridiculous. They're faking it. It's not how it works. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, eventually I think there will be some Apple wants to have augmented reality. I don't know if I want, what was it in like Minority Report where he'd walk and it'd scan him and he would be in the advertisement, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I really want that, but I do like having a movie theater in my house.
Yeah, you're a movie guy, and so that works for you.
And to be honest, I have a 49-inch Odyssey gaming curve monitor right here in front of me, but I still put these on to do some video editing because I can still have a bigger timeline. And it, being able to have that real estate, if you're a, like a podcast editor or even, you know, when you're writing, being able to have like, okay, here's my document I'm writing and here's the research stuff and I can have music here that's playing. I mean, it has more productivity options than the Meta Quest does.
Well, for $4,000, it better.
It better like wash your hair or something too, right?
It better have something that it kind of takes care of you. Yeah.
I mean, like we don't have a big enough house to get a huge, you know, 60, you know, monitor, we just don't. We don't have the space to put that. But, you know, but you give up, I can't have my wife watch, which is not always a bad thing.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I watch most of my movies on a 27-inch curved gaming monitor that I have down here, and I'm super close to it. So, yeah. It's fine for what I do. I don't know if we've got a 40-inch screen in the other room. I could go. I don't know. That's not kind of what I don't know for me. I'd be more interested in the productivity side of things. Could this, you know, could I use this? I'd really love it to use it for conference calls.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I could put it on and it would show me through it, and then I could be, then I wouldn't have to. Well, and I'd love to have it. And this is crazy talk, but I'd love to have it where it'd create my podcast avatar. And so I could have it on and it would be showing me like this, but you know, in my human state, my hands are moving around all the time. Yeah. I'm not looking at the camera. The lighting isn't always the best, you know, kind of deal. I'd kind of like to have that thing on and it would represent me in this setting, in a good, I just don't think we're that far away from that where it could show me in that, you know, in that light. So
yeah, it's, I mean, it's scary because it's so good right now, but it's still not there is why it feels so weird. Like it's like Polar Express. It really is. Like you're like that uncanny valley weird feeling when you were watching that movie.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see what version 2 is going to do. Cause
How will you feel about version 2 when you just spent $4,000 on version 1?
Well, I'll sell it to some schmuck that he'll be happy to get it. No, I mean, this was a thing because I wanted to see, I wanted to report to people like, you know, as a 51-year-old, is it worth it? Like if you've got the money and if this something makes you happy, yeah, go right ahead. I mean, people drop money on goofy things. I don't play golf, and I know that a lot of my friends have way more invested in their golf clubs and bags and fees than I do. That's just my thing. So would I recommend it just to watch movies? It depends on if that's a passion, if you don't have room, you know, all those things. And if you, you know, if you love tech, but for the average person, like I'm not going to tell my parents, you need to go buy this right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
just, you know,
yeah.
But some of the apps are really cool. There's a dinosaur app on it that everybody talks about. That's really, really cool. They're shooting more immersive videos. Like there's one where you're in the studio with Alicia Keys where she's practicing and it's uncanny because she looks right at you and you are right there. Like, it's like, whoa, that's weird. And there's a tightrope one. There's another one. And they're supposed to be coming out with more of these for people to do. But some of it's really crazy.
That would scare me. Yeah. That would scare me. Do you think we get to a point someday where we're wearing these things more full time than you know, that they become, you know, I put my glasses on in the morning. Yeah. I don't think twice about it. I wear them all day. You probably do too, I think. Do you think we get to a point where that's more acceptable? This has always been what we call them, glass holes, right?
With Google Glass,
yeah. Right? Do you think we get to Bluetooth, right? Remember they had the big Bluetooth things and people would wear those. You're a jerk. People talking on the phone. any chance this thing makes it mainstream and you wear them more than just sitting at home watching movies?
They're already talking about, you know, giving them to people in first class on some of the Singapore Airlines and stuff.
So
I see some of that stuff. They're already getting it to where they've actually been able to project images and text on contacts, with augmented reality.
Yeah.
Is that coming? You know, this is there's some productivity stuff with it. There's a lot of entertainment stuff on it. Do I want to have it on all the time? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't. I want to be able to, you know, yeah. I love tech. I love all that stuff, but you know, we get mad at our kids now for not looking up and they're sitting at the table, yeah. not talking. Yeah. If they had something strapped to their face all the time or glasses that would do that or contacts, I don't know. I mean, we're already seeing that people are losing attention spans crazy. So,
You're watching a whole movie on it. It's not like, I mean, I know we say that the attention span thing, but yeah, people are glued to their phones longer. I mean, they're staring at it longer. I think that's an excuse, but
yeah. I think the content, they like those dopamine hits all the time and they'll stay and swipe.
True.
You know, I've even noticed for me, I would rather now a lot of times watch an hour TV series instead of a 2-hour movie. Like I went and looked at, I was looking at Avatar. I was like, what? 3 hours? Oh my gosh. You know, I'm probably that guy. Yep. Get off my lawn. But
can you doom scroll on this thing? Could you bring up a TikTok?
There's a TikTok app now. Like you can watch TikTok. Yeah.
Is that what you literally just.
Yeah. You just sit here. And so the pinch thing is your whole way you move around. So like if I look at a screen, I just go like this and it flips up and it rolls just like an Apple device does, you know, kind of as the inertia.
At least it's exercise. You know, at least
exactly. My wrists are going to be monster. But the pinch and zoom, same thing. Oh, the photos that you can watch, look on there. It's really cool. Yeah. If you have panoramic photos, they actually wrap completely around you. It's amazing. Ooh,
wow.
Yeah. If you've taken them on your phone before, it's really, really cool.
In the MetaQuest, there's a concept of like a home base, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can go to this place and it's got some things around you. Mm-hmm. Does the Vision Pro have that? Like, do you land some when you get in? Turn the thing on. Do you land somewhere?
Yeah. So you'll hit and it'll be full reality. And then there's an app. There's like an icon for environments and you can dial it as much as you want. And so you hit the crown and your apps almost like an iPad. Like you'll have the apps that come up and they'll either be superimposed on the reality that you're in, like Mount Hood or whatever, or full pass through. And they're there as well, but they're all the same. Super sharp resolution.
Yeah. I like a tactile response to things. I like it when I touch a keyboard and it clicks, or I click on a mouse and it clicks or whatever. Do you think, you know, one of the things with the MetaQuest 2 that I struggle with is even in the hand motions, there isn't a full tactile response. If I threw some gloves on and it allowed that response to come back to my fingers so I know I'm clicking on something or touching something, do you think that'd be a better experience?
I think so. And it feels, because of the way we've been trained, and I think it almost feels tactical when you're doing the pinches because you have like,
is the headset got any?
Yeah, it's kind of like a little, it doesn't, I don't, you know, I, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if it vibrates or not, you know, because even with the scroll wheel on your watch, it's not actually clicking. It's actually sending a vibration to fake the clicking,
right?
You know? And I can see them do stuff like that. Like it's not, there's no click in there. It's just,
right.
It's a fake haptic feedback thing. So I can see them do more stuff with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest. I wouldn't mind to get some better, and maybe in this new environment, it's just fine. With the MetaQuest, I always thought I'd rather have gloves than a controller. and then those the controls would be built into the gloves.
Right.
You'd put those on and then get some tactile response back from those gloves.
Do you remember the old NES controller that you used to have? Like,
I always thought gloves would be cool. I loved wearing gloves. I don't know why. That's one of those things. When I used to run,
you have driving gloves, Dave.
But when I was a runner, I would run, you know, I'd go out on a cold morning and I'd have shorts, a t-shirt, and gloves. And it just made me feel badass. I don't know why, but it just made me. It made me feel good about it. Would you, if it was good enough, would you drive with these? Where, like, imagine the heads up display that you could get and all the data you could get while you were driving, assuming, let's just say it's as safe or you have as good of a vision as you would when you're, without them on. Would you drive with something like this on?
I don't, because my thing is there is a field of view, right? Like, because you have that kind of shield on there.
Think so about Tesla with all those cameras, and it could be feeding that information into you.
That would be cool. Now, the guy got pulled over for doing that. Like, he was driving his Tesla, and he had the Vision Pro on, which it was a stunt, but.
Right.
Yeah, you know, eventually, I mean, I think I love heads up displays in cars. I think they're the coolest thing where you can like see stuff. Because I play the piano, I would really like to have, because there is an app on the MetaQuest where it has those, like you've seen on YouTube, the waterfall where you hit the keys at the right time and to learn piano. And the MetaQuest has one that uses pass through. It's kind of clunky and stuff. I would love to see one on this because I think there should be some cool stuff for teaching and learning with, this AR that Apple has already, because it's good enough for that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, certainly the learning, we always thought Microsoft's vision HoloLens, mm-hmm. HoloLens, was that they would, you could do jobs through their AR experience, and they would feed you, hey, I need to know how to fix this pipe. And someone would say, go here and do this and show it to you, right? Or they would feed these things in. Do you get any sense with this Apple product that they could feed instructions into you that would help you do things?
There's already some cool stuff. Like there is a whole breakdown of the human heart that you could go in. There's another one that I've played with where you can walk through a cell and there's this thing where you actually drop an F1 car on the floor of your living room and take it apart.
Oh,
and see the aerodynamics and stuff on it and stuff. That's cool. That stuff's really cool. Now I know that the Quest Pro actually has been kind of moved on to those industrial type of platforms that they're working on with, you know, education, government agencies, all that kind of stuff. So I think because of the tech in this, I would assume that was what would happen.
Yeah. So. When back in my skiing days, when I was younger, I wore a pair of glasses for a while. They were round, you know, and they just, instead of a big visor, they were just kind of, they would, do you think, you know, we'll get to a spot where these things will be a little less giant on the
front? I'm sure it was hard for Apple to release something this
big
and heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this battery pack that they, cause this is heavy too. Like this is a heavy little pack of batteries. I think they really don't like having this. Because Meta doesn't have one, you know, that's built into the headset and that kind of thing. But just to drive all those computers, there's just no way that they could do it. Like, they just couldn't. So I think they're going to try to get rid of that first, and then I think they're going to I think they'd love to get it to glasses, but I just don't know. I mean, the tech isn't there yet. It's just not.
Yeah, no, we have a ways to go. Crunching down an M2 into a pair of glasses
or
an M3 or whatever would be just kind of crazy to think in that small of a form factor. Although I do think maybe there's still a form factor we're not thinking about that maybe like shows
project
up
to your eyes or something, some sort of laser that wouldn't blind you.
Eye replacements. Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll that's creepy. Like,
well, Musk is doing that. Didn't they have the first implant go through last month or something?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I
think the human trials started or something.
Yeah, who knows? Man, that guy's crazy. He's doing some he's doing some crazy things. I don't know if I would.
Yeah,
I don't know if I trust any of that.
I don't think I go sign up for a trial.
I mean, he's had some pretty good success. Jeff, last question for you on this on the Vision Pro. If there's anything today you could change, what would you change on it?
I think they could rethink the bands. I think instead of when they sent you this, I think they should have just sent you two of those.
Yeah.
Because they're like $100 a piece, this solo knit band, if you want to get a replacement. And I'm like, jeepers, Apple, come on. I know you love your stuff, but.
I think sometimes that's the razor and razor blades, the handle and the razor blades. Like, although you just paid $4,000 for the thing. And then it's like, hey, here's $200 more for
that. Right. That's like for the box.
Band. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the third party stuff's going to be interesting that will come out. There's already been some things of Crackgate. Are seeing right here on this seam right in the middle, like there's been a crack that they just show up in like the Reddit forums. That's why I have this thing on there. And some people say it happened because they've charged it in the case. But the thing is, there's no real heat that goes to this. It's mostly to the battery. So I'm not sure. I just think there's a couple batches that went through. If you watch the production video, you'll see all the engineering that goes into making the curved glass and stick everything in there. It's pretty amazing.
Oh my gosh.
But maybe rethinking the straps a little bit and bringing the price down. I think it actually costs like $1,900 total to make is what I read somewhere. I think, and the thing is it sold out. Like it went up quickly and the supply chain just continued to ramp up. So they're considering it a win, is from what I understand.
Why wouldn't you?
I would make it as this is cheaper than if they could drop it down to $2,000. You know, I think more people would do it and start making some new use cases for it, for you know, and some apps. I think it's really hard to get in the app store now. That's the other thing. I wish there was more apps at launch. There were some cool ones, but there needs to be. So just some more really, really good ones.
That's always been the problem, right? With VR is the killer app. They always said, well, if we can just get a killer app in the system, I think we can get this thing to take off.
I think there's entertainment because they're saying that you're going to be able to watch like an NBA game from the floor live in 3D on this thing, which would be spectacular. Yeah. So that if they could do live sports, you know, with those cameras there, that would be a killer.
Yeah. Well, that means they have to have cameras all over the courts, right? Yeah. To make that work. Right.
I think so.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well, I said the last question, but let me ask you one more. Was it worth it for spent $4,000 on this?
Yeah. I mean, you had 2 weeks to take it back, right? Like I had 2 weeks. I could have played with it, did my video and take it back, but in the long, the big scheme of things, I really like it. And I think it's cool to have the first version of something, you know, I would love to have my Apple IIe back in the day.
That's what I learned to program on.
Yeah. Yeah. Basic. That's what I did. I remember making, you know, 10 graphics. Yeah.
Go to 20.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I think that's cool. And, you know, but I am a one-off. Like I would not recommend this to a lot of people. I'm glad I got it. I'm going to go back and finish watching a show that I started. So I'm just like, you know, I think it's fun.
If we think of these headsets like Windows operating systems, and you know, you had Windows 3.1, Windows 95, Windows 2000, right? Where would you put this in that OS development? Do you think we're still fairly? Is this?
I think it's Windows 2000. I think it's Windows 2000. I don't think it's 95. You remember 2000 was a big jump.
Yeah,
it felt like, and it was kind of a new slick, you know, operating system. I think that's where it is. So,
okay. So a lot of runway ahead though with that.
When you
think about what's yet to come. What's yet to come. Yeah, I do think there's some AI things associated with this as we figured out how to make. Like the large language models that are part of AI are just the beginning of some of the things, you know, and I think when we think about VR, what it's missing in a lot of ways, I think can be made up for with AI. And so these may be two technologies that aren't separate. They may actually assist each other in moving forward. I don't know. Yeah. Any thoughts on that? Would you add anything to that?
Well, I think it's way easier now for people to program. And I think
for sure.
think that there's going to be a floodgates of apps for this. Because now, you know, even YouTube's like, we're not going to. And now they're like, we're gonna make an app for it. You know, they kind of backpedaled on that. So I think developers, Apple's got to release some of the gates a little bit for them and let them have it a little bit easier to do.
They're not good at that. No.
There's already some cool spatial games for this. There's just not enough of them. Yeah. And Apple's never figured out gaming. They just don't. They've got the hardware. Yeah. They can do some cool stuff, but they just never can figure that out. I think the productivity thing is going to be big. When people go like, listen, this saved me time because I was able to spread. I put these glasses on for 15 minutes and I was able to get this, and this done.
Yeah.
That will be a thing. Like that will be.
Yeah. Know, no, right on. Yeah. If I could type, that would change. Like if I could get in VR and be able to type, see my keyboard and type like I normally do, or
which you can
use the mouse like I normally do in the Meta Quest. No, but it sounds like this may be. Yeah.
You've got to try one. You know. Where's the closest Apple store in Nebraska?
Just downtown. Omaha.
So, schedule it for the weekend. Go do it, and then you can have another show.
All right. Yeah, we'll have you back on to do some updates.
Right,
Jeff. I'll pull at Dave Jackson. What's coming up on your what's coming up on your podcast? What do you guys? Is you're looking ahead?
So tomorrow I'm talking with Mike Alton. So it's 10 a.m. Central if you want to watch the live show and ask questions. We're talking about zero listen podcasts, which I had no idea what that was. I never heard that term before. And when he explained to me, I'm like, that is really intriguing. So he's on my show zero listen podcasts and why you should do them and the strategy behind it.
I have to go. Where would I go to watch that live?
You can go to anywhere on the socials, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the different places. Just search for Social Media News Live. If you're looking on YouTube, it's Creator News Live. That's where a lot of people show up for the chat as well. So
is there a link on your website?
Yes,
there you go. So jeffcsieh.com.
Yep, or socialmedianewslive.com. We'll have that too.
Check. That's a long. It's too much to type. I can't do that. Jeff, thanks for saying yes to come on the show.
This is fun.
It's always a risk to, I was like, hey, that sounds interesting. Would you come on the podcast? And you said, yes, I will. So it's great to have you on. Yeah. Well, if I ask you to come back and talk some more in a future date.
We should do an AI one because I'm really doing a lot with that too. With visuals. Okay. And stuff, so.
Yeah, let's look ahead on the schedule and see what I don't want to use you too much, but you're a busy guy. You got some stuff going on. So, anyways, we'll see on getting you back. Thanks for coming. Can you stay around for a minute and hang out while I close things up? Just a couple reminders for those folks listening on the podcast or listening live. You can continue the conversation in our Discord group. And actually, there's been a bunch of conversations going on there lately. You guys have been doing a great job. It's the friendliest Discord group on the internet. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Justin wants to know, when's the barbecue show? We kind of did a little bit of barbecue conversation, didn't we? Yeah. But I got to get Mark Robson back to talk some barbecue. So Justin, that's a good reminder. Thanks for doing that. If you want to leave me a message for the show, you got a question or just a comment, head out to homegadgetgeeks.com. There's a little microphone in the bottom right-hand corner. Leave me a message. Don't forget theaverageguy.tv, both media and web hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and your trust. And he has inflation fighting plans still in place. You can get a plan still for $10. He takes care of it all for you. Head out to maplegrovepartners.com. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Aaron Lawrence is up next week, and everybody loves Aaron. So you want to make sure you come back for that show as well. Show Jeff some love. Head out to his site or watch him tomorrow on his podcast if you're listening live. Jeff, I won't get this done in time for Friday's show. What's coming up next Friday? Do you know what's the Friday after that? Because
I can't remember. We always have something. I'm not sure. I have to go. I don't know on my schedule what it is. I'm not sure. It'll be good though, whatever it is. I always have good guests and a great audience that shows up.
Okay. Well, check out, be kind to Jeff and head out and check out his stuff. We'll be back next week for those folks watching live. We'll have a short post show with that. We'll say goodbye.